Someone startles the witch.
Oh, that's quite loud. Here we are at Anime Boston 2012. The screaming you hear in the background is a girl cosplaying as a witch from Left 4 Dead who periodically chases after people. What is that game even about? Is it a zombie game? What is like Left 4 Dead about?
I don't know. It's a zombie survival horror game. Yeah, we're sitting across from the witch who is keening, and then when people come up to make sure she's okay, then she jumps on them, kind of like in the game. Not the best place to record a podcast, however.
On the contrary, I think this is the best place to record a podcast.
Why do you say that?
I say it because I think you've really captured the ambience of being there, being at the convention. Noah's making an incredulous face. Hopefully we can get Gerald from Anime World Learner on here, or maybe Mike Toole if we track down these people. What is that guy cosplaying as? The guy with like the Thai boxing shorts and like the really tall hair? Are you listening to me?
He's from one of the later Street Fighter games. He's a Thai kickboxer. I don't know the guy's name.
Oh, okay. I think there's another Madoka Magica cosplay over here. So, we were kind of concerned because PAX East, the Penny Arcade Expo, which is like a big video game convention, is the same weekend as Anime Boston this year, which is also Easter weekend. We kind of thought maybe a bunch of attendees would be at PAX instead of this, and I do know people who go to both. But it hasn't really appeared to affect the numbers at all. All of the panels were like really crowded. The con was super crowded on Friday and Saturday. If anything, I think like the numbers have really gone up from... Actually, we were here 2 years ago, so I don't know what it was like last year. We went to a friend's wedding instead, which was the same weekend. A couple people have theorized sort of on Twitter that like PAX East sold out a lot sooner, or maybe from people we've heard of who went to PAX, like the attendees are older and more male than the attendees here at Anime Boston. Or that earlier PAX had more girls going to it, and this one does not. Anyway, see if we can get some other people. But now everyone is imitating the witch and keening. It's pretty funny, including a freaky furry dude. There she goes. Right, now I'm recording.
Hi, I'm Gerald Rathgold from real life.
I like how Mike Toole introduces himself as being from the internet sometimes. So here we are at Anime Boston 2012 in the same hallway. And you should tell us about... we might walk around here for a minute, but you should definitely tell us about the Yuri panel that you went to last night, because that was pretty interesting.
It was pretty interesting, yes. Yes, the panel, basically, I guess the panel itself, they had an elaborate like panel planned out, and their computer crashed, and they had no backups, so...
You said it was like blue screening, like it was dead forever.
They said it was blue screening. I didn't see that happening, but apparently I believe them, and so they hooked up their other laptop and hooked it up to the internet and were pulling up random lesbian porn from Pornhub, and then they were going onto Google Images and looking for anime boobs and anime vaginas. I mean, I guess the audience was responding, so... and then, like, really socially awkward people were asking really embarrassing questions, like, what do you think of strap-ons, and what's it like to kiss a girl to other girls? So, really, you know, awkward stuff.
The basics.
Yeah.
What was the response to that question?
What is a vagina? Like...
No, I mean, what's it like to kiss another girl? How did they answer that question?
They said it's good.
Is it? Kittens romping in milk, isn't that right?
That's the hell answer.
Yeah. So it was an interesting panel. Interesting in a good way. I don't know. They tried. They also were saying kind of harsh things. Like they said, like they went to a Yuri panel years before that was run by two old ladies, and that shouldn't be allowed. They said that.
Undoubtedly,
it was. You think it was Erica Friedman? I'm yeah.
Certain. I am 100% certain that that's what they were talking about.
I'm certain, and I like Erica. And they said that like a panel should be run by young girls and should be full of sex.
That was my experience also watching the Gay Pride Parade in New York, where at first there are a bunch of crazy things, but then there's motorhome after motorhome with just topless over 40 lesbians on the roof of those motorhomes, where it's kind of like, all right, you know, gay pride and all that, but...
Well, gay pride is not what it means to you. It's what it means to them, to the gay community.
Indeed. But
I support your right to be over 40 and topless on a motorhome. I just don't know if I want to see that for extended periods of time.
Yeah. The audience was full of young girls, so I guess they were enjoying it. Oh yeah, and they gave away, they had like a giveaway at the end, and they gave away some vibrators. So, I mean, it was obviously, I was in there to charge my phone. That's the only reason I was there, was to charge my phone.
Except for that you've been to lots and lots of Yuri panels. Is it always to charge your phone?
Look, there's always a seat that's close to a plug that's in the Yuri panel. I don't know why this is. It's convenient.
Your phone always runs out of batteries, right?
Well, it's always at the end of the day. Right. And the end of the day, you need another charge.
Were you the only creeper there? I'm just
No, there were many others.
Just checking.
Were you the best? Were you the best creeper?
I would like to think if I was, that I would be.
I think you need like a beard for that.
A beard and maybe 80 more pounds. The shirt doesn't go all the way down. Then.
Yeah, the front butt.
Yeah. Who? What?
Mame Shiba. He's a bean dog.
Yeah. Oh. Oh.
Well.
Oh, he had a pink one.
I've seen alpacas here. I'm glad I saw the alpacas.
Oh, right, because you said your friend who just went on their honeymoon to Japan, they noticed it was all alpacas all the time.
They came back with nothing but alpacas and porno figures.
But, I mean, the point is alpaca is a trend right now. Not that porn isn't the trend.
Yeah, I'm waiting for the two to combine.
No.
A big pile of hentai manga. Not even doujins, like the manga, like the real stuff. I read through all of it.
The entire pile in like one day.
Well, it was
on the way to the airport.
Yeah, it was right before the airport. So, what is this? What was the subject thing?
Alpacas.
Oh, I mean, of this podcast.
We're just talking about Anime Boston.
Oh, Anime Boston.
Oh yeah, you did like a zillion panels.
Yeah, I did a whole bunch. I did five. One of which I picked up because like six panels canceled. So I did great anime openings went really well, and otaku and anime went really well. I asked the audience if anybody had seen Daikon 4. Well, actually, I assumed they had seen Daikon 4.
Yeah, Gerald was just like, you've all seen Daikon 4. You're an anime con. That's an outrageous assumption, by the way.
Yeah, I guess it is now. And so, like, five people raised their hands, and so I got to show them Daikon 4, and everyone, like, applauded wildly at the end, and so I was really happy.
Yeah, people really liked it. They dimmed the lights all the way. After that, we had to leave because we were, like, doing a panel with a friend of ours, like, so we didn't get to see how the rest of the anime fans in anime went. But we did go to your America, fuck yeah, panel where, like, it was just clips of super Americans. It wasn't filled to capacity, but, like, people really enjoyed it.
It wasn't filled to capacity, but it was also in a big room that was over 50% full. It was, Daryl was on the panel with me, so that was nice that he came over from SakuraCon for that.
He only said, like, four things, but, you know.
But, yeah, I think it went well. I like that. The shirt I thought was told was a nice touch.
You're, like, American Eagle wearing a, what was that, like a pilot?
It was a pilot helmet. American Eagle behind an American flag wearing a pilot helmet, which does not have an American flag on it. Needed a bandana or something. I think I'm going to do that panel again.
I don't think the audience could, like, see how awesome the shirt was from far away.
Well, that's their problem.
They could feel it.
Do you want to talk about any of the clips that you showed or the one that went over the best or something? Give an example of what we mean by American in this case.
The Madball clip went over pretty well, I thought. That was the one of the guys in the shooting gallery, and then they stopped.
Rape in Central Park.
It wasn't actually a successful rape. It was just an attempted rape.
An attempted gang rape in Central Park.
That makes it okay.
I was a little worried about that one because you were showing it just beforehand. And I'm like, I don't know if that's going to go over that well.
It went over well.
Well, because they shoot the person like through the head at the end, and
yeah, that's America.
Yeah.
What's more American than that?
It's okay to have really bad guys doing really violent things as long as their heads are totally blown apart by a bullet.
The eyeballs fly out. That was the important part. I like Texas Mac. I don't know what.
Several people who I was sitting near, they were like, "We got to go and buy that anime now." Like after the Texas.
So that's what I was hoping. Texas Mac, one of the best Americans. What other Americans did I show? Well. I like that the vast majority of America is basically New York, that the vast majority of anime in America is based in some way in New York. I think that went well. What other panels did I do? The Great Openings one was a lot of fun, but that's a super easy panel to do.
Like, and it fills up every convention that it's at.
Yeah.
Did you not rip off that idea from like Alex Levitt's like anime openings panel?
I'm pretty sure Alex Levitt was not the first person to come up with the concept of showing clips from openings.
Probably not, but did you rip it off from him?
No, I never even went to his panel.
I thought, like, you guys had seen how successful it was, and then it was like, that's an easy panel to do.
No, they've been doing that panel at Florida Cons for, like, 10 years, and same exact thing.
So which openings did you show?
I tried to show a combination of new stuff that they know, like the best comedy of the year, Another, and
Agreed.
One of the funniest shows I've seen, even though it's not supposed to be. Then older stuff, like I think I went back as far as like Rose of Versailles and Devilman. And it also helps when you give them like 5 or 10 seconds of what this is about, what the deal is with this show. A lot of people wanted to know like more what these shows were. I tried to stick to stuff that were good openings from good shows, because there's a lot of really great openings to terrible shows.
But why wouldn't you want to show those if they're great openings?
Yeah, but then they want to go and watch terrible shows, and then they think they're good shows. Like Noir and Mad Lax and Valkyria Chronicles.
Noir opening isn't that great.
I think the Noir opening is really great.
I don't know if it holds up, having rewatched it recently for review.
I haven't watched it in like 7 years.
Watching it in HD and stuff, you can really see the tape around the corners, kind of. Like, you can see the seams. It's not meant to be seen in HD.
I see. Yeah, well, most anime isn't. It was nice to be able to compare, like, I think it was the second or third Kimiguri Orange Road opening to Bakano. The audience gets more interested when you can do that sort of stuff.
Like what, with a contrast like that?
Like you can say, like, you know, this was a very difficult technique to animate, and they didn't even try to do this again for a very long time. And because it's Easter weekend, we had to celebrate our Lord and Savior, the Easter Bunny. Showed some stuff from Flying House. So, and I should have gotten Superbook in, but I couldn't get Superbook. But the Japanese openings are really weird. There's like no suggestion that it's like a Jesus show. Nothing. It's a bouncing house and the robot dancing.
Have you ever seen like those videos on the internet that are like every anime opening ever where they...
Derek, our friend Derek made one of them. Yeah, he made a really, really good one.
You didn't show that at your panel, right?
Nah, I think that gives everything away. That's like starting porn with the facial and then moving back.
But then you know what you're in for, I guess? I don't know.
Did you not know what you were in for when you turned on the porn?
It's a spoiler. Like, geez. You don't know how it's going to end.
Porn, right? I think Tosh.0 did a porn spoiler database where you could type in any title and it would give you the spoiler for the porn. I think the spoiler was always they had sex.
Really? I need to follow that up. When you're doing like 4 or 5 panels, having 1 or 2 that are easy to do is kind of important. Yeah. Like I did the building mecha panel, and that I had to do like from the ground up. And that's a lot of work.
Yeah, I would never do 4 new panels at one convention.
I did it once. Not this time, and I will never do it again because I worked really hard on 4 multimedia panels, and then I was the last person scheduled, so they put me all in a row on Sunday, just because they had a block then.
Oh, God. So you had to talk continuously for 4 hours?
That is
ridiculous. It was not worth it.
Well attended.
No, it wasn't well attended, and I was...
That was MegaCon?
No, that was Anime Festival Orlando, like 6 or something.
I was kind of tired out at Genericon after I did like 4 panels, and then I sat on Evan Minto's panel for like a 5th panel. But by the end, my energy was just like, oh.
I don't know if I should count like panels I just sit on, because if it doesn't require any preparation, it's very much easier. I was about to sit in on the Evolution of Mecha panel, mm-hmm. and I've done like several Evolution of Mecha panels, and one guy there on the panel, Andrew... Good friend of mine, knows his stuff, really good at it. Mm-hmm. And the other guy does really great mecha fan art that I bought some of, doesn't know anything about mecha evolution. I was disappointed. He thought that, like, Combattler V was designed by Go Nagai. Duh. No, it's not.
But so you had him on your panel, but you didn't know what he was talking about?
Yeah, it wasn't my panel, but I just looked in on it. It was his idea, but needed a bit more schooling, but Andrew was definitely there to help out. Andrew knows his stuff. He got really upset with me because I had, like, a picture montage of, like, various Bandai models, and I had, like, a Macross mecha there, and he yelled, "That's not a Bandai model." Like, he knew it.
Get out!
Yeah.
Get out!
Being correct is the most important thing about being a nerd.
Like. Yes. Yeah, that was part of the otaku panel. For a long time, one of the big ways that you could tell that you were a nerd was that you could, like esoteric knowledge, like, on the fly. It was like, you had to know things. But nowadays... That's not necessary anymore. You don't have to know stuff.
How do you figure?
You have to look it up.
Awkward.
Just have to be socially awkward and just leer at girls a lot.
The awkwardness used to be that you had to believe that it was more important to be correct than to be social.
Yes.
And now they're neither correct nor social.
That idea still survives, but it's only in mecha panels and general sci-fi panels. That stuff is still there. They want to show off their kung fu.
Yeah.
How harsh their kung fu is.
for the older crowd, that where expertise is still really important.
Like, that stuff still exists even for the younger crowd, but only in the artsy sort of genres of stuff.
Artsy,
like autistic.
Spurglord.
Spurglord.
Yeah.
I've never heard it referred to as artsy.
Is artsy? That's the cute way of referring to it.
No, the most polite way I've heard of referring to it is on the spectrum.
On the spectrum? Yeah. That sounds like being cool.
Yeah,
like
it's supposed to.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't know about that. I think it's supposed to sound polite.
Well, I think it's supposed to sound politically correct.
Yeah.
Neutral.
Like artsy or spurgy.
Oh, spurgy.
Spurgy.
Sprigglicious.
Sprigglicious.
Sprigtastic.
She was sprigglicious. She wouldn't even look at me when I talked to her.
Sprigtastic.
I tried to talk to her and she said yeah and wandered off. It was so hot.
Anyway, I guess we should... do you have any impressions of the con overall compared to like last year or...?
They are improving, I think. I think that they're kind of at the level they should have been like 7 years ago. But
this is only the 10th Anime Boston.
That's what I mean, is that they're like, I guess they got like some big industry guests in years ago, and then they didn't get any for a couple of years, and now we've got like Haruko Momoi here, and so I think that's a really good start, and they need to get like more industry guests here, even if that means, you know, Vic Mignogna here, so he brings in like 2,000 more people, so that pays for someone really cool to come. Not that Vic Mignogna isn't the coolest guy in the world.
But the important part for you at a con is, like, how many awesome Japanese guests are there?
Japanese guests will make me want to actually travel to a convention. Like, one that I wouldn't go to normally. That's why my partner is not here. Calling him my partner kind of sounds like we're a little bit closer than that.
Life partners.
Yeah, my life partner, Dairy, as I call him. DS.
Right, heterosexual male life partners is what Fast Karate calls it.
Over at SakuraCon, to see Yoshiaki Kawajiri, which is pretty sweet.
What did he direct?
He directed Ninja Scroll, Wicked City, Lensman, all of which actually feature like rape or near rape. There was like a minute long...
I didn't know that about Lensman. But...
Yeah, well, there's a scene where she goes down to the Fuzzy Tentacle planet, and the Fuzzy Tentacles like take her around for like a minute or two. It's pretty funny.
Sounds like a nice planet.
Yeah.
Remember that from the series.
The Fuzzy Tentacles? You don't remember Fuzzy Tentacles?
I've never seen the Lensman anime.
Oh, yeah.
Books.
Yes, it was not in the books. I remember very well.
But a fan of yours paid to fly Daryl out there, is that my understanding?
Yeah, this is why I assume that all the updates we've been seeing on Daryl's Twitter account is not actually Daryl, that Daryl died like on Friday. And
someone's wearing his skin.
Yes, and is just has the skin over him, just rubbing the skin close, and then is just like typing in to Twitter all of the...
constantly, as Daryl does, because otherwise, if Daryl stopped tweeting, everyone would know that he was dead.
Yes. Yeah, that would be too obvious otherwise, so I don't anticipate seeing Daryl ever again.
You can tell it's not really Daryl tweeting, because he's not like retweeting a bunch of like teenagers being angry at their fathers or something, which is mostly what his Twitter feed is about.
Yeah, the pseudo-Daryl or whoever it is, apparently there is a Ninja Scroll 2 in the works.
Oh, yeah. And, he said they showed the trailer or something.
Yeah, features a motorcycle ninja chainsaws. And I did hear that Lupin the Third was licensed during my otaku and anime panel.
Oh. Like in the audience? Like here? They like completed the deal in the audience?
Yeah, it was the Funimation was there. I saw them, you know, working on it. A twofer for that panel, I think.
I didn't think I saw Monkey Punch in the audience.
But. Yeah. I saw Monkey Punch in real life. It was very interesting. He came to a Florida convention, and he got up there and started talking a long time about how he was not responsible for that one terrible ninja show that he had worked on. The one that had the animation that was so terrible. And no one, yeah, that was the reaction of everyone in the audience. Yeah.
He's like, I'm so ashamed. They're like, it's cool, we've never seen it.
It made me wonder, like, if Monkey Punch is a little bit of a Spurglord, too. Like, he felt like he had to apologize for this thing that no one was really aware of.
He's like 112 now, isn't he?
Yeah,
I mean, he's
kind of close.
Yeah, he could be kind of fading. I met him, too, at, like, Akon 5, I think. Yeah, we went swimming together.
You just hung out by the pool with Monkey Punch.
Just hung out with him.
Rubbed his back.
Oh, here comes Happy.
Oh, my.
It is Happy. It's like a full cat suit.
Kaito Bear and Kakashi.
Kaito Bear is out of his outfit. You did see, because it is Easter, Sunday, we saw there was like a Kaito Bear in a priest outfit.
Yep. Nothing like sacrilegion at the Anime Con.
We did eat brunch at a bar where the bartender was wearing like an upside-down cross, which is pretty badass.
Pretty hardcore.
Yeah, it was hot. I was turned on.
It's actually also Passover, and there's a lot of like Judaism panels at this con that we happen to miss. One was Judaism and anime, and another one was like the anime Passover.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious as to what their source material was going to be. I can't name too many Jews in anime.
Or like, but the Passover one was like, why is this con different from every other con?
Right, that's right. Well, that may have actually been a Passover Seder of sorts.
Nobunaga wasn't Jewish?
Nobunaga, to my knowledge, was not Jewish. The only guy I can think of, Benny, in Black Lagoon, is Jewish.
Yes, Benny is Jewish. He's from Florida, too.
Yeah.
So it lives up to the stereotype.
What, an old Jewish man living in Florida?
Benny's not old at all.
No, he isn't old, actually. But he was wearing, like, Hawaiian shirts, yeah, though. We don't wear Hawaiian shirts there.
They're
no.
Not enough research.
Oh, wait, there were Jews in Angel Cop. They caused all of the problems of America.
Well, that's the one.
So. Angel Cop and maybe Zionist Crystal Triangle.
Yeah.
Were there Jews in Crystal Triangle?
I thought there was a Zionist conspiracy going on in Crystal Triangle. Crystal Triangle had every kind of conspiracy.
Yeah. I don't remember the Zionists being responsible for anything in
I assumed it was just an Angel Cop screening, actually.
Yeah. So other than that, I should have gone to that to see what other like Jews there are in anime. I'm just not familiar enough with it.
There's also like an apocalypse theme to this convention. So we sat in on apocalyptic anime and manga panel that our friend ran, where we mostly talked about Fist of the North Star, but also like a pretty good overview in history and like different samples of like apocalyptic stuff that filled the room to capacity. It seemed like all of the panel rooms are kind of small this year, and I can't tell if it's just because the convention got bigger or the panel rooms are really small.
Yeah, it's worth mentioning that PAX East is going on, which is a gigantic video game convention that is sold out. And I guess there was some thought that maybe this would eat up some of Anime Boston's. There are enough nerds to fill two gigantic nerd conventions to capacity on the same holiday weekend. So there is, like, they could probably have Comic-Con East going on here too, and this place would still be buzzing.
It's probably true. But I think, like, there were some other panels that filled the capacity where I guess they're having a really strict fire code thing here where they're like, no standing in the back, no sitting in the aisles. So once all the seats are full, they just stop letting people in.
Yeah, my panel was full to capacity, and they had to keep the door open anyway for fire code, I guess.
My panels were pretty well attended. I don't know. I don't think I filled any of them to capacity except the apocalyptic one that seemed to be completely full.
You can kind of hold any panel that you want on a Saturday night at a large convention like this, and it will fill up to some degree.
Yeah, if the dealer's room is closed, people are like starved for content. Masquerade is over. Oh yeah, the rave got busted.
Oh yeah. This was awesome. I mean, I wasn't there. I was hyped out on ecstasy, so I couldn't actually see.
Hopped up on goofballs.
Yes. I was in the elevator, and apparently this one guy walked in and was telling me, like, the rave just got busted. And I said, oh, really? Why? And he said, guess. And I was waiting for an answer.
And then the elevator door closed.
And then I actually, like, walked out there, and I saw everybody falling out of the rave, and the police were there, so he wasn't making it up. And I heard from staff that, yeah, it was indeed busted. And then, of course, like, this is like midnight or 12:30 or something, and this is like the most popular thing going on. It's full, and all these kids are now filing out, and then the rest of the con is kind of, there's not a lot going on, but now they have to absorb the rest of these kids that don't have anything to do. And the entire point of a rave, my understanding was, is that these young kids with a lot of energy and sexual tension need somewhere to release it. And it's better to release it in, like, one room, mop up the room afterwards, rather than, like, have it spread all over the convention walls and floors. So,
it's an interesting theory.
It's my theory, so it's right.
It might just be better to do it at home.
Please leave that at home, like the Japanese posters. Please do it at home.
That doesn't work when you're 14 and your parents are at home.
Yeah, you can't do it at home if you're a teenager.
I did.
Maybe the girls you dated, there were more floors to their homes. I don't know. Anyway, let's see. Maybe we should get Mike Toole on this podcast if we can track him down. So here we are at Anime Boston 2012. I've got Mike Toole here, who actually went to both PAX and Anime Boston.
I'm doing great. It's been a heck of a weekend.
But you went to PAX, what, on Friday or Saturday?
I went to PAX East for much of the day on Friday and for the first part of the day on Saturday. And my impressions of that show is it's a lot of fun. It's quite a community. But the exhibition hall is very hard to manage, especially during peak times. It is incredibly crowded. There are huge booths for the AAA games, and there's very little line management. If you want to get that, you know, preview and swag of the next big game, you're looking at a 90-minute wait of just standing there to play a game for 5 minutes and get a T-shirt and maybe a shot at a bigger prize. So it's tough. On the other hand, if you are looking for indie gaming or retro gaming or tabletop gaming, that place is heaven. There's lots of that stuff covered, and most of the wait times for that are pretty low.
That's pretty good. But you took your nephew, who's like 12 or something?
Yeah, I took my 12-year-old nephew, Bobby, and I've actually been taking him to PAX East for 3 years now. He's big into the show, and it's interesting because the first couple of years, he really wanted to see everything. Now he's actually getting more selective, and he is going after indie games because he sees that as the sort of thing he can create himself.
What was like his highlight of the show?
His highlight of the show, there were a couple. I mean, we did wait in line to play Max Payne 3, and that was the one thing that he's going to go back and brag to all of his buddies about. We played Virtua Fighter 3 on the Dreamcast. He loves the Dreamcast and has wanted to get one for a while. I've got one for him. Don't tell him yet. It's not time to give it to him. We played that for a half hour and had a lot of fun with it.
Sweet. So what do you think about this year's Anime Boston?
Well, like everyone else, I had some reservations about just how many people would show up. And on Friday, I heard an unofficial number that, thanks to the concurrent happenings of Penny Arcade Expo, registration had dropped. Pre-registration was down by almost 50 people. Which is just like, that's a completely negligible number. Yeah, yeah. And the counts I'm hearing today for total attendance are somewhere in the neighborhood of 21,000. So, yeah, these shows can coexist perfectly with no problem. I mean, none of the restaurants have run out of food. Every panel I've gone to has been a lot of fun. The dealer's room selection is good. And it's just been a great experience. It's a good Anime Boston like every other Anime Boston has been in recent years.
I wouldn't even know that PAX is going on. Like, the number of people are just basically the same, it seems.
Well, actually, we're standing behind one thing that I think is a really nice touch.
Yeah.
PAX East and Anime Boston set up a video conference system. So there's a portal to the exhibition hall in PAX East where both sides can see each other. And it's pretty cool. People have been communicating with handwritten signs all weekend. There was a sign on the table back there that said, "Come to Anime Boston, we have girls."
Is that accurate?
Yeah, having gone to both shows, yeah, the demographics are way different. It obviously skews younger here at Anime Boston. And at PAX East, it's just like, to turn a popular surf song on its head, it's 10 dudes for every girl.
But here, it's more like 50-50?
It's getting dangerously close to 60-40 in favor of women, I think.
So, right, you did like an interesting panel yesterday that was like Korean hits of Korean animation. Was that the first time you'd run that panel?
Yeah, essentially a few months ago when I was doing panel submissions, I was looking at some crummy old Korean cartoons. Now, some listeners will know that a lot of older Korean animation was kind of bald-faced ripoffs of anime. So I thought, let's make a one-hour panel where we dig up all of that stuff and laugh at it. And as I did my research, I discovered that the history of Korean animation is actually a lot more interesting. It started literally with a guy fishing celluloid acetate out of the garbage so he could wash it and use it to make South Korea's first color animated feature film. After that, there was a whole sea of ripoffs, but the thing is, almost by osmosis, South Korea learned the techniques of animation, and stuff has been improving year upon year. I think current Korean animation is both very different from a lot of traditional anime and in some ways as good as or better.
Not to undersell the cell washing thing, but that was pretty standard. Like, celluloid's kind of expensive, so cell washing is like, that's why cell collecting is supposed to be a thing, because a lot of cells ended up like washed to be reused.
Right. I understand that that's a common thing. The wrinkle is the fact that he fished them out of the trash. Like, he got them on the sly. Like, the Korean animation industry was born from garbage.
Right. And he made a whole feature... He made a whole feature that way, too, which is pretty impressive. Probably people would end up buying at least some new cells. What were some other... You just went to, like, the Les Miserables panel. How did that go? I meant to go to it.
I only saw the first half of it. It was run by our old pal Vega and one of her buddies, a fellow named Jed. They focused on the 2007 World Masterpiece Theater series and just highlighted the differences between the book, between that, and between the musical, because, of course, a lot of people love the musical. And they showed this amazing AMV that synced up footage from the 52-episode series with one of the big musical numbers. It was really arresting. It was good viewing. I was into it. One thing I discovered, too, is that there was a 1979 TV movie called Jean Valjean Monogatari, you know, the story of Jean Valjean. That was dubbed into English and released on video cassette here. I have not been able to find a copy, and neither have they. It was one of those, hey, are you going to talk about this? And they're like, well, we haven't seen it. We can't find it. I saw it when I was little. It was available for rent at the video store in my hometown, but I've not been able to find it since.
Well, any other like highlight panels that you went to that were interesting? Or
actually, yeah. I was intensely curious about the singer and voice actress they got here, Haruko Momoi. And her Q&A panel was cool. I mean, a lot of times when you get a Japanese performer in a Q&A session, their answers are going to be very safe and kind of stock. Then the question, the Q&A is going to amount to, how did you get started? What, you know, what's your favorite role? What is your favorite food? You know, that really, really mundane stuff. And this lady was not content to give short answers. She liked telling stories. And she talked about politics. She talked about the geography of Akihabara. She talked about baseball. And she talked about her favorites. I asked her about the computers she used, and she could remember like the make and model of the first two or three computers she had gotten as a middle schooler. Yeah, she actually said, I really wanted to get a Next Cube, you know, the really high-end mid-90s computer made by Steve Jobs, but I couldn't afford it because I was a middle schooler.
That is pretty good. Like, that isn't what you get out of the usual content.
Cred.
That's pretty good. And I guess we also have Ed here. Do you want to say what your best-selling books were at the con or anything?
I guess, well, as usual, bestsellers tend to be Lychee Light Club. Fans for that just hoard the table, most of them in costume, to grab whatever furia is available.
But not like in a lychee costume.
No, yeah, usually in lychee costumes, yeah. We had a couple of them on our Twitter previously, though I didn't take too many pictures this time, apart from a couple of blackjack cosplayers. GTO, 14 days went really well, as I expected. And after that, Drops of God Volume 3 moved out really fast. That book just went on sale, so not surprising, but I was a little disappointed that we were left with like two copies of Volume 2. I guess the Lushes aren't at Annie Boss, they're possibly at PAX, or the bar, they're just hung over from too much fun over the weekend. Yeah, so we did okay.
All right. Yeah, I think that's about it. Yeah.
Hey, Ed, what title did you announce this weekend?
Oh, yeah, so we announced a re-release of Paradise Kiss by Yazawa Ai. Yeah, really, really, should be really good. Being the creator of Nana, she hasn't been doing too much as of late because she has had some health issues. But there's still demand for her and her art, so we were more than willing to take a chance on something that she created. I guess for most of the attendees here, it would be like, yeah, like half a lifetime ago.
No, when they were babies. I own Paradise Kiss, but like, are you going to do like double volumes or single volumes like it is?
Yeah, we're going to do an omnibus edition with 300 pages. So it'll be 300 pages, three volumes for the entire series. We'll have color plates and a new translation, new cover. So should be pretty sweet. Volume 1 comes out in September, so look out for that.
Are you going to do more Aizawa stuff, like neighborhood stories eventually if it goes really well?
Yeah, I've been getting a lot of requests for that since we made that announcement. I really would like to. One thing I have been able to do a lot more recently, because now I not only am doing the manga selection, but actually doing the literal acquisition, so working on the contracts and the like, I'm working closer with agents and editors in Japan. And Yazawa Ai's editor doesn't always work for Shueisha, even though Neighborhood Stories is a Shueisha title. So I'm going to try to convince her through bribery or you know, favors or, you know, just strange forms of massage, whether mental or financial, to see if that could be a possibility.
Okay, that's pretty good. Yeah, I didn't know you were announcing anything. I kept forgetting to ask.
Yeah, no, we were hoping to announce a nonfiction title that would be really relevant to this event. The Ninja Consultants might be aware of this property already, but contracts have not been finalized for that. We do have a pretty significant property to announce at Anime Next, so keep eyes out for that.
It's Anime Next, like, what, in July or June?
Mid-June.
Okay.
Yep.
I don't know if this podcast will be out by then or not. I have, like, a backlog of interviews. Yeah. I have a backlog of interviews from Manga Next, so which will probably be in the feed before this. All right, I think that's about it. Do you have any final thoughts, Noah, or not? No? Noah's shaking his head. All right.